In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. What do you think of those readings? Lots of supernatural stuff going on. But you know what? Some supernatural stuff takes place in our lives too. Stuff that we don't understand. We can't explain it to anyone. Anyhow, I digress. So, our gospel reading gives us the transfiguration. The transfiguration of Jesus is the occasion on which Jesus is transformed. He experiences a profound change in the presence of his three trusted disciples. We experience an epiphany of who Jesus is, the Son of God, the Chosen One. We have heard these words from back in Advent, coming right through to now. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Chosen One. In order to gain a better understanding of this passage, let us go to chapter 8, verse 27 in the book of Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And it reads, Jesus went with his disciples to the villages of Caesarea Philippi. And on the way, he asked his disciples, who do people say that I am? And they answered him, John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others one of the prophets. He asked them, but who do you say that I am? Peter answered him, you are the Messiah. And he sternly ordered them not to tell anyone about him. Peter acknowledged Jesus as the Messiah. And then Jesus proceeds to tell the disciples of his suffering to come, how he will be handed over by the chief priests and elders to be killed. He will die and will be raised again. If anyone needed confirmation of what Jesus was saying was correct, it is Peter, James, and John. Were they thinking, who is this person that I'm following? The last thing the disciples expected to see before their very eyes is Jesus' clothes becoming dazzling white. Were you in their place, what would you do? Run as far as they could possibly go, get a little closer to see if he was on fire. What on earth was going on? The English word transfiguration is translated from the Greek word for metamorphosis, meaning change. It is a complete and profound change from one thing to another. It can be likened to a cocoon becoming a beautiful butterfly before our very eyes. Then what the disciples saw next can be a bit confusing. They see Moses and Elijah. And we know that Moses has had several mountaintop experiences with God. He observed and encountered God in the burning bush on the mountain. And in the Exodus passage, we also read that his second time going up the mountain to receive the Ten Commandments and the laws from God, he encounters him there. Moses faced shun just like Jesus did when Aaron and the Israelites saw him. They, like the disciples, are afraid to go near him. And then we have Elijah. Elijah was a great prophet, which the Israelites held in the highest esteem. The disciples would have heard all of these stories of old. During the Festival of Tents, the wilderness story of the Israelites traveling and building tents in the wilderness was commemorated. Perhaps Peter is reminded of this story when he boldly declares that he will build three tents. And Peter, being Peter, blurts out what comes to his mind. But can we blame Peter? Perhaps for opening his mouth, but certainly not for being afraid. I do believe Peter spoke out of fear. He's startled and he's overwhelmed. Moses and Elijah are now long gone. Peter appears to be recreating something from the past. Remember this exchange from the Lion King between Simba and Rafiki? I know what I have to do, but going back means I have to face my past. I've been running from it for so long. And Rafiki hit Simba on the head with a stick. Ouch, geez, what was that for? It doesn't matter, it's in the past. And he laughs. Yeah, but it still hurts. Oh yes, the past can hurt. But from the way I see it, we can either run from it or we can learn from it. Peter cannot recreate the past, and neither can we. The past is the past, and while we can't run from it, it certainly does teach us some powerful lessons. We move forward to the present and the future, where we can make a difference in what happens in our lives. However, we must not discount Peter, because remember what Jesus said to Peter, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it." Peter is being groomed for his leadership and prophetic role. From 2 Peter verse 1:18, it reads, "We ourselves heard his voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." Peter can proclaim and preach with conviction due to his factual experiences with Jesus. Exposing Peter to these incidences gave Peter the credibility he needed as he spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. Out of the cloud, the voice of God thunders, "This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him." This is directed to the disciples, not to Jesus. To Jesus, however, it is the supportive voice of his heavenly Father. If anyone needs encouragement or reassurance, it is Jesus. God provides Jesus with a revitalizing dose of encouragement. He reminds Jesus of who he is and whose he is. And he provides the disciples with the proof of Jesus' divinity. Any reservations the disciples had of whom Jesus is are dispelled, and it is confirmed at this time. "Listen to him" is also directed to us. It is a reminder to us to listen to what God is saying to us through our prayers, through our worship, through our singing, through our stillness. Listening and being silent are two vital methods we use in order to go deeper into our relationship with Jesus. Inner silence is deeper than the spoken word. Inner silence is deeper than the spoken word. Pregnant silence allows for times when mere words are not deep enough for what we wish to convey. It comes from depths far beneath the surface of our soul. The transfiguration of Jesus reminds us it is necessary to take time out to retreat from the hustle and bustle of our everyday life and from the valley of our comfort. During our retreat time, we worship, we reflect, we immerse, we have companionship, and we pray in order that we might effectively respond to the cares of our lives. This time out is necessary in order that we might come back to the world with love, with grace and mercy. For when we are burnt out, we are miserable and cranky. This is no good for our relationships or our families. From our time out, we are renewed with determination, with confidence and energy to face the days ahead. Each Sunday, we retreat into these doors so that we would listen to what God is saying to us through the prayers, the worship, the praise, and the music. But it goes even deeper than that. In this weekly retreat, we gather as the body of Christ to share and experience his body and blood, and then we scatter into the world to share what we have received. In our retreat time, whether a church experience or vacation, we have had mountaintop experiences. I, for instance, remember my crucio I made in 2007, a vestry retreat, church services, our 25th wedding anniversary celebration were all mountaintop experiences for me. I am sure that you have had mountaintop experiences, those Kodak moments of your own. I wanted to remain in that euphoric state of being. But, like Jesus and the disciples, we all have to come down off the mountain. Remember what Moses returned to the first time he came down the mountain with the Ten Commandments? The Israelites had built graven idols. All that God had envisioned was lost, and Moses was angry, and he threw the tablets with the commandments down to the ground, smashing them. Jesus comes down the mountain, and immediately he's swamped by a large crowd. A man cries out to Jesus to heal his demon-possessed son. Yep, back to life, back to reality. And so, as Jesus comes down off the mountain, he comes with renewed clarity and renewed energy for his mission. From this point on, his mission is intensified as he moves towards Jerusalem. What happens at Jerusalem? Anybody? What happens at Jerusalem? He's crucified. This is also a turning point for the disciples. They too must look towards their mission with renewed focus and enthusiasm. For they once looked at themselves as individual fishermen, but now they must envision who they are as disciples of this newly released Jesus, revealed Jesus. During Lent, it's fast approaching. Let us remain on the mountaintop to spend moments with Jesus. My prayer today is that we too will be transformed and renewed as we come in contact with Jesus on the mountaintop, that our faith in him will be cemented before we return to the streets of everyday life, for we sure are going to need it. Amen.